Darren Donick and Chase continues here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe here with you today. Tonight over at Bridgestone Arena, a big draft party, a big weekend extravaganza. The Predators celebrating the summer. Lots going on. Of course, free agency starts next week. It has been a whirlwind, especially when you throw on top of it the Seattle Kraken forming a team. So it is an exciting time. We've got Justin Bradford on the line with us. He'll be part of our coverage tonight on NashvillePredators.com. We're going to have a long webcast. Hal Gill, of course, Chris Mason, Lindsey Rally, Pete Weber. We will all be down there covering it from all aspects. And Justin will be joining us for a little insight as well. Now, we think that the Predators will pick, if they stay in the spot that they are, somewhere around 840, 845, in that range. So we're going to be starting the coverage at 7. So there will be a lot to discuss. We won't just be talking about these prospects. We'll be talking about everything that's going on around the league. So with that in mind, Justin Bradford, Penalty Box Radio. If you listen to his show, he is always in tune with the young players on the way up. Really pays close attention to prospects as they're drafted. You might remember a few years ago up in Chicago, Justin and Jeremy Gover. We had Jeremy on the other day, just reflecting on Pecorine. And Justin and Jeremy joined me up in the United Center. And Justin, I will never forget that night because every time the Predators were on the clock, they got booed like you wouldn't believe at the United Center. This was coming off of the sweep of the Blackhawks and then, of course, the run to the Stanley Cup Finals. So thanks for joining us tonight, or today, and tonight.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, appreciate it. That was fun. There were some fun pictures. That was a fun draft to cover, being right there in the front row when everything was going down. It's crazy that another year it's going to be virtual like this, because I miss being in the building when the draft happens, because it is a different kind of rush when you're in a building when a draft is happening and everything is happening. I remember being in the building when the big trade with the Weber-Subban trade went down, and how just everybody was reacting to that was really crazy. So it's fun to be in the building. Can't wait. Next year, Montreal will be fun, but this year, another virtual one.
Yes, and that is something. How many drafts have you been to, Justin? I know you have made it happen before it started becoming virtual and dealing with what we have the last however many months it's been, but how many have you been to?
Yeah, I think it's 5 now. I'm starting to lose count. I've been a little bit of everywhere. I was looking forward to Montreal in 2020, but obviously that got canned, so glad it's going to be back in Montreal, but I think it's 5 now, so it's fun to travel across the country to cover these things.
Well, things are different, as we know. Hopefully they won't be for forever going forward, but with the task at hand tonight, Justin, let's start by setting the table for those that are going to be following. This is the players from the OHL, the WHL, some of them didn't even get a chance to play because of the pandemic. It took, you know, we saw a hockey season, we saw a college basketball season, there was challenges, but they played. A lot of these guys didn't even play. So how do you judge the talent? How did you go about scouting? If you're a lot of these teams, this is going to be a really unique challenge.
It really, truly is. And yesterday in media availability with Preds assistant GM and director of scouting, Jeff Kelty, and chief amateur scout, Tom Nolan, they addressed that. And it's one of those things that all the scouts everywhere, I mean, everyone is on the same page this year in terms of how they have to address scouting for these players. And it's all through video. I mean, you did have some players play some games, a smattering of games here and there, especially North Americans, maybe paid like 10, 13 games in some leagues, or maybe a few more. You have the O with zero games, and some players played in World Juniors. And then across the pond in Europe, you had some players that were able to play a full season potentially, but it was still limited in what was available, so it's only video. And every scout has had to fully adapt to something different or base what they know on previous seasons. And we all know, especially with juniors in hockey and players, especially athletes in any sport, the difference that can happen in 17 to 18 years old, how much they mature physically, mentally, things like that. In any single sport, how much muscle a kid can put on in 1 year, and I can see a drastic difference in performance from 1 year of just maturity and hitting the gym. And it's going to be difficult for a lot of scouts. On the other hand, this is one of those drafts, too, that I think a lot of different teams are going to have their boards looking completely different from any other team. And so teams will be able to get their guy, I think, in a lot of different ways, especially into the middle rounds, that everyone's going to be across the board with how they're ranking players because they're basing it on what they know. And it could be interviews, it could be visits to see how these players are reacting. Are they just sitting around doing nothing and binge-watching TV? Are they in the gym? Are they hitting the X as much as possible when they couldn't do much of anything else? What were they doing to train and mentally prepare even when they weren't able to play? So a lot of those things are going to come into play here. I asked Jeff Kelce and Tom Nolan about that and what they're looking for as well in a draft, especially as the evolution of the NHL continues to change. And it's what every team's looking for. They want speed and size. I mean, it's a difficult combination, but if you can find a kid that has some size and potential to get a little bigger but is also very fast, that's what you want to see, is a lot of that speed. So if the game continues to speed up, you got to look for speed, but you also have to find a guy that's not going to get pushed around out there too.
Of course, Elliot Friedman, as you know, Justin, joins us every week. I read his blog last night. He had a really funny line that I'll have in the back of my mind tonight. He had an unnamed hockey person, I think it was a scout or somebody, say, here's what's going to happen tonight. You're going to have somebody get picked in the first round, and several teams go, holy bleep, I had that guy in the fourth round. Because I think, like you said, for all the reasons you just pointed out, the evaluation of all these kids is going to be different on different levels because there just wasn't the same way of evaluating. But all that being said, the Predators have a lot of picks. They have some extra picks. And one question I heard got thrown out there that I think is an interesting one philosophically, would you rather have more picks this year where it's a little bit more of a crapshoot, or less picks and think about going down the road? I think the answer probably varies depending on the general manager you ask.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I like the more picks more than anything, not necessarily what you can use those to pick up in this draft, but the flexibility that that offers. Because if a team sees a player still available that they had maybe ranked up way higher on their board and they're still available and scared another team's going to take them, then the Predators can offer draft picks. They can offer to move down, but they could also offer to move up. That flexibility of having an extra second rounder, especially, I mean, you look at players that are chosen the first two rounds, obviously typically have the highest probability of making it. I mean, that's a pretty big honor to be selected in the first two rounds. So it would be the top 30 to top 64 now in looking at the rounds right there too. So I think flexibility is really big in this draft, which we all know is a weaker draft compared to next year. Next year is the one where you want to have plenty of picks, and it doesn't really matter where, you just want picks because it's a fairly deep draft where a kid that's typically going to be a first rounder in a lot of draft years may fall to the second or even the third round next year. So this year, having a lot of those picks gives them flexibility, but having that 19, 40, and 41, and 51 overall gives them a lot to work with. And even in the middle rounds, having that flexibility, whether it's to trade for next season or be involved in another trade that may happen, because I still don't think David Boyle may be done with what he wants to do. So having that flexibility, these extra picks, is really something to bask in.
Justin Bradford is with us from Penalty Box Radio, and I'm gonna be quick with you because I know you got to go, but they got about $29 million in cap space. And as you just said, you don't think David Poyle's done. I hope he's not done with all that cap space and some things that they need to do. Do you feel that they're in on Landeskog and that could be a legitimate thing?
I mean, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're in conversations. I'm not sure how hard they're pushing like they did with Matt Duchene. I mean, we all knew that David Poyle was in on Matt Duchene, right? So I think it's one of those things, they'll probably make an offer, but they're probably not going to get into a bidding war, is what I wouldn't imagine be done there. They don't want to get themselves into another contract that they might want to expose in another expansion draft. So I don't think they're going to get into a bidding war with something like that. They're going to be in on it. I think the Predators are one of those teams now that they want to at least be in and be considered, but they know they have to re-sign a bunch of guys as well. I mean, they cleared cap space for the reason that they know they're going to have to throw money at Mattias Ekholm. They're going to have to throw money at Phil Forsberg. They're going to have to pay Justus Staros. If they want Granlund back, they have to pay him. I mean, there's looking ahead to the future and why that cap space is going to be very important just in the next two off seasons of what they're going to have to pull off if they want to be competitive and get that window really opened back up. So I think they want to have some of that cap space available and not be a cap team because they have to be able to re-sign some of these guys that, like Mattias Ekholm, he's definitely going to deserve a raise.
Yeah, for sure. A guy we've talked about that hasn't necessarily fit in with the John Hines system has been Rocco Grimaldi. Do you think that he could be moved this weekend at the draft?
I think he's one of those guys that could be moved, but it's also in terms of depth. And I know he's kind of a fan favorite as well, and people were upset to not see him playing as much that he wasn't able to play. He hasn't really fit in. I think it goes along with I don't want to throw the size thing out there, but in terms of the system that's being played, he wasn't really fitting in. And then you throw him out there and he scores him. He has a big game, right? So he can play with a chip on his shoulder. But he's one of those, unfortunately to say, expendable players. And if you want to start giving your youth more room in the lineup to prove themselves. He's one of those guys that's just going to be an extra forward, and it stinks for him because he earned his spot overall. And, I mean, the Predators told him to buy a house and to make his home here and then kind of fell out of place because you had younger guys come up and have more favor with the team overall. So I think he's one of those guys that could be in play. The return would not be too much. He'd be probably part of a different deal as well. Maybe it's a return for a prospect with another pick if they're trading one of their second-round picks, whatnot. So I don't think he's one of those bigger deal things that's going to happen. He's only going to probably return a fourth at best a fourth. And so I don't see a reason why you trade him for a pick. He's good to have as an extra forward as well because he's speedy. He can be out there. He's just a little bit of a defensive liability when he's out there too. But, you know, you can pop him in and he's going to be flying around the ice. And speed definitely is important for this game.
Well, Justin, if I come up with something else, I'll tweet you. So
okay,
I'll just do
good.
That. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, guys.
All right, good stuff. Justin Bradford, Penalty Box Radio, always covers the draft very heavily. He'll be part of our coverage tonight on NashvillePredators.com. When we come back, we'll talk about some more things going forward here that might set the table for what may or may not happen tonight. We're not going to get into all of the prospects that are out there because, quite honestly, most of you don't know any of them. We don't know any of them.
Yeah.
You know, when you pick in the middle of the first round, let's be honest, it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot.
You never know.
We'll see if they stay at that pick, move up, move down. All of those things, but it's not like the NFL draft. These kids are 17, 18 years old, and I think by the time the Predators pick, it's pretty obvious that that kid will not play for them this year. He's going to be in the system. He's going to work his way up, and hopefully they'll find a Predator that will help them in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from people on what you'd like to see happen this weekend. You know, are you more concerned about stocking the cupboard by using all these picks, or would you like to see some wheeling and dealing that can help the team in the now? So if you want to call or text, 615-737-1025, we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Okay, so we're coming back. We'll get some of those thoughts here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, 102.5 The Game.